like to invite to come to the podium Mike Kazam, who is the convener of No War, whose idea it was to have this meeting tonight. So thank you, Mike.
It's really nice to see so many people here tonight. We're very grateful to have somebody of Tariq Ali's stature in Adelaide, and I think the turnout tonight is a recognition of that. I'd like to just speak for a few minutes and just talk about our organisation No War, which is the group that's organised tonight's meeting, and then introduce Tariq Ali. I'd just like to start by making a reference to the pictures that you may have looked at the back here and outside. We've got pictures of the rallies that we held prior to the Iraq War, particularly the rally that got 100,000 people, the largest in the state's history. There are also pictures that Ruth Russell took when she was in Iraq before the launching of the invasion. She was there as a human shield, and if you looked at her photos out there, I've got a selection of them here. It really addresses what No War is about. You start off by seeing photos of cities and people getting about their daily lives. You then follow looking at huge explosions, buildings destroyed, whole streets destroyed, morgues so full of bodies that they're lying on the ground, bodies by the side of the road that are no longer identifiable as people. You see photos of people who've lost limbs, and some of the most heartrending are photos of children that have lost limbs, which just seems so incongruous to see a child that's been maimed that way. You see those things, and what they tell us in a very graphic way is that this is the reality of war. That is the reality. Our wars are, when we go to war against people, it's a war over there. We go about our daily lives. The sun keeps shining, the shops are open, electricity is running, we go to work, we can get food, we don't have to duck and cover. There were some radio announcers in Adelaide who were expecting Iraqi bombers over Adelaide, but I think their own sense of propaganda got in the way of their sense of reality. Our wars are over there. The wars our government commits us to leave us living in comfort and see other people's civilizations destroyed. You really need to wonder when you have these wars as to how real the threat was when the other side can lose tens of thousands and the people attacking them lose a few hundred, when the other side has their society smashed to bits, and for us it's on the news. It's a TV war. This reality that is shown in these pictures, that's why No War exists. They show what we hope what we hope they show is the human face of war. That's why our group opposes wars that are unnecessary and unjust, in no way defensive wars. The victims that we see in those photos are people like us. They've got lives, they've got hopes, they've got aspirations. We have to ask, by what right do we kill them and level their homes and cities? No War strives to defend the truth about what is really happening when we go to war on the coattails of the Americans, and to stop Australia's involvement in wars of aggression. We're an Adelaide-based peace group. We're not aligned to any political parties, and we're happy and prepared to work with anyone who shares our goals. As I mentioned before, we have organised many of the rallies that preceded both the attacks on Afghanistan and the invasion of Iraq. We're proud to have organised the February 16th, 2003 rally, which is the biggest political protest in the history of this state, when many of you, I expect, were there. 100,000 people filled the streets of Adelaide. Now, unless people who care about truth commemorate things like that, we can be reasonably certain that the Murdoch press and the people in power won't. But to us it was one of the most significant things in the history of this state. And it was, I guess, a symbol of hope that in the face of a concerted campaign of lies by the people in power and the defence and transmission of those lies by the mass media, that so many people in Adelaide could still see through to the truth and were prepared to get out and express their opposition to what their government was doing in their name. That weekend of February 16th, when 100,000 people were in the streets of Adelaide, 10 million people marched around the world in opposition to the war, the biggest single protest in the history of the world. No war aims to challenge the Australian government in the slavish following it has of US policies, particularly US foreign policy. We work to ensure that people do not forget that this Iraq war was based on lies by heads of state and, as I've said before, uncritically relayed and endorsed by the mass media. We want to promote awareness of the significance for peace, for the peace of the world, of US unilateralism and militarism, which is now the dominant feature of our age. In short, we wish to keep the arguments for justifying war, which have been put out by government, we wish to keep those arguments contested terrain, to use a military term. We're not prepared to accept the lies and let them solidify as a truth through repetition. We don't want the lies that justified this last war to become justification for the next war. We now know that the Bush administration, influenced by the now infamous neoconservatives, had set its sights on war against Iraq from its very first weeks of office. We know this from sources as reliable as Paul O'Neill, who was George W. Bush's first Treasury Secretary, and also from books such as those by Bob Woodward of Watergate fame. We now know, for those of us that didn't know at the time, that September 11th was seized upon by the Bush administration as an opportunity to pursue a hidden foreign policy agenda, an agenda in short of world dominance. Simple as that. The invasion of Iraq was based on lies about the existence of weapons of mass destruction, lies about Iraq's capacity to deliver such weapons, lies about links to Al-Qaeda, lies that Saddam Hussein was a threat to world peace. The reality that we need to keep reminding ourselves of and repeating is that Iraq did not attack the US or Britain or Australia or any other country, nor did it threaten to do so, nor was it even capable of doing so. The reality was that Iraq, which is a country of 20 million people, was crippled under the burden of 12 years of the harshest and cruelest sanctions ever imposed, and by the huge devastation that Iraq suffered, both in the war that Saddam Hussein started against Iran and by the Gulf War of 91, and it suffered under the burden of the stifling dictatorship of Saddam Hussein. This was the country that was supposed to be a threat to world peace. Most of you know the story of the weapons inspectors and how they were pushed to try and find a casus belli, a reason for the war. There wasn't any such legitimate reason. We need to not forget that the grounds for invading Iraq were even more tenuous than the claim of an existing threat from that country. The war was launched as a preemption against what Iraq might do with weapons it might have sometime in the future. No rational observer can fail to be struck by the absurdity of the world's most powerful state, the most powerful state in human history, with a nuclear arsenal capable of destroying the world many times over, claiming to be acting in legitimate self-defence against a militarily and economically crippled third world nation. Iraq today is a disaster with horror stories daily of car bombings, civilian deaths and American military overkill. The desperate situation of ordinary people regarding security and basic amenities like clean water, electricity and health care is now worse than under the dictatorship. Yet in the face of all their lies unravelling, Bush, Blair and Howard remain unrepentant and basically indifferent. Worse still, plans for attacking Iran or even Syria continue to be given currency. That's the situation in which we find ourselves. Tonight, No War is pleased to be presenting a man who has dedicated himself to exposing the lies and the machinations of the powerful and championing the cause of the oppressed, a man whose courage and clarity of thought has inspired people around the world. Tariq Ali's voice has provided and does provide a clear and a strong beacon of truth visible amongst the murky waters, to be polite, of international affairs. Tariq Ali is the author of several works of fiction and, in addition, two excellent books on what we can call the American Empire, Bush in Babylon and The Clash of Fundamentalisms. These are now joined by his most recent book, Speaking of Empire and Resistance, Conversations with Tariq Ali. These books are available on sale here tonight, courtesy of Imprints Booksellers. If you have them already, buy them for a friend. I can assure you that the advertiser and the TV stations, when they do their interviews, will not provide a context when they speak to people like Howard and defenders of aggression who stonewall. They will not pursue them. The only hope we have is in getting information that gives a context to the international situation and to the actions of these states, getting them in places away from the mass media. So I recommend the books to you. Tariq Ali is speaking here tonight as part of a national speaking tour, and for which he's not charging a speaker's fee, and he's then going to be appearing at Sydney Writers Week. This has allowed us to keep our admission fee low enough in order to cover basically airfares and the cost of the hire of this place and the promotion. Tonight, Tariq Ali will be speaking about globalisation and democracy after Iraq, after which he'll take questions from the floor. Please welcome Mr. Tariq Ali.